It's Exodus chapter 26, and I'm sure many of you will know right away when we announce the chapter that these chapters give details regarding the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness and the various furniture pieces and so on that were associated with that. We're going to begin to read there at the verse 15. It says, "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath. And they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets. 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the board, for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold." We'll end the reading there, at the end of verse 29, and we trust the Lord will bless this public reading of his own word today. I was very conscious that there would be, in this large congregation, a considerable variation as far as age is concerned, and certainly as far as levels of Christian experience are concerned. I was thinking from my last time here and remembering that there were a good number of young people associated with your congregation here in Kilkeel. And while we did not prepare the message exclusively for young people, we certainly want you to know, young person, that you're a very important part of the gathering here this morning. We trust that the word will be a word for your heart and for everyone else's heart as well. Now, we are looking here in some of the verses that give details regarding the tabernacle and the various components that are associated with us. And as many Christians here will be aware, there is so much in the tabernacle details that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much that typifies him in a very clear way, and when we study that, we can be edified and encouraged, and indeed we can preach the gospel from various verses that give details that would indeed be very good types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when we read in the New Testament there of how the 2 in the road to Emmaus, they were greatly uplifted when the Lord Jesus, when he spoke with them the things regarding himself? Now, we know he begun at Moses and the prophets, and it is quite likely that he in some way referred to the details of the tabernacle that indeed point so vividly to himself. But we also want to say this morning that there is much in the components of the tabernacle that portrays people like you and me, the believer, the person who has been saved by God's grace. Now, we have read this morning some of the verses regarding what are known as the boards. They were just acacia wood. Some of you ladies may have an acacia wood kitchen, and you know it's just a piece of wood. Well, these pieces of board are not simply to be passed over, because wood in the Bible very often is used in symbolic language to represent the Christian. And when we look at these boards, we see that their real value is brought to our attention in verse 29, where it says, "Thou shalt overlay the boards with gold." Now, we know that gold in the Scriptures is associated with deity, and therefore, when you look at the boards that typify Christians like you and me, and you see that they're overlaid with gold, which points to Christ, you see the real value, not only of the boards, but you see here the real value of every Christian, because we are robed in His righteousness this morning. And far from being details that we would pass over, we need to look at the boards and see what they say to us. So my title this morning is "The Importance of the Tabernacle Boards." I have three brief thoughts, and I trust that the Lord will use His Word to encourage your heart this morning as you meet with us here. I want you to notice, first of all, the shape of the boards. Please look at verse 15, where it says, "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up." This detail says a lot to us today, for the word "standing up" there really carried the meaning to stand. In fact, if you were to look at the words used here in the original language, it carries the meaning of stability. The thought being of someone who is, or something that is committed to a particular responsibility. It also carries the meaning of permanence of position. Now, you would know that these boards for the tabernacle that went around below the tent, you would know that they would be of little use if they were just lying down. There was that pattern, you see, that was given to Moses by the Lord, and it was to be followed right down to the most minute details. He wasn't to go turn to the right hand nor to the left, but he was to erect the tabernacle, construct the tabernacle in accordance with that pattern that God had given to him. And the command was, and is here, that these boards are to be standing up. And Christian, another year is very quickly drawing to a close. I was very encouraged this morning as we've seen so many children coming out of your Sunday school classes. And certainly we were very pleased when we heard how many you normally get in. And perhaps you're a teacher there, or you're involved in the children's work, or you're a young person seeking to do what you can for the Lord, or perhaps you're just seeking Him to direct you into what you ought to do. Or maybe you're an older person, one with vast Christian experience, someone who's been laboring here in Kilkeel for many a year. And as this year draws to a close, you're conscious, as maybe you have been on other occasions, that in the devil's plans for you, his chief plan is to break your spirit. He cannot have your soul, but he will do all that he can to break the spirit of the Christian, to upset you in your service, to intrude into what you're doing for the Lord, and to work with you in such a way that you become a defeated Christian and you do not make the progress that you would want to be making. You remember over there, whenever Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, you will know that he had a great love for the church there, and he was writing to them, and he says in verse 18 of chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians 1, he says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered me. Or Satan hindered us. Do you see the word hindered in that verse? That word hindered literally means cut in. In other words, Satan cut in as he sought to go to these people to encourage them and to help them. You look over there in Galatians chapter 5, another epistle penned by the apostle in the chapter 7. He was writing on to those who had been converted from Judaism. There's no question the people he was writing to were saved. And he commends them on the progress they had made. He says in verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Strange words. There's no doubt to a Christian or to a Christian people. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Well, the word hindered on this occasion is a word that means to break up the road. And that is significant. Many years ago, when I was a whole lot younger, I don't know what I was doing there, but I was up at the border. I think it was the Tyrone border with the Republic of Ireland. And at that time, due to the situation, the British Army had blown up the road. There's a big crater in the road, so that, for obvious reasons, so that terrorists couldn't come back and forwards on that particular road. And as you stood there, and the road was ahead of you, but there was a great crater there, and the road was broken up. And if you wanted to go round even on foot, you had to go round the side to get to the far end. And really, when we look at this passage that says, ye did run well, who did hinder you, meaning to break up the road, the only way around is by Path Meadow. And that is where the devil was seeking to bring these Christians that had made group progress, were seeking to do what they could for the Lord. He had cut in there as well. And whenever he cuts in, he is so good at using the situation to break the spirit of God's people. I could be speaking to one today, and maybe you're just like me, and sometimes you feel you're in great danger of failing to stand. Remember what we're looking at now. It's the shape of the boards that represent us. They were standing up. And while I said the devil can never have your soul, it is secure for all eternity, he can break your spirit. So what do we do? And how do we continue to stand? Well, if you would look with me there in Hebrews chapter 12. It says there in Hebrews 12. It's the verse 3. It says there, for consider him, that is, consider Christ. And the words consider him mean to compare things in their due proportion. These are words that are written to encourage people who inevitably could become cast down, especially if the devil cut in. He says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye become weary and faint in your minds. See the word faint near the end of the verse? An interesting word. It means to let out rope. I was here a few years ago, and we were playing tug of war. It was a sports day with the schools. And I was on Portadown side, and somebody must have tripped me or something, but I didn't win. You know what happened? I let out rope, and the other side won. And folks, that's what it says here. Lest ye become weary and faint in your minds, meaning to let out rope. And folks, when we let out rope, we're not progressing. We're not gaining ground. And when that continues to happen, then our spirit can be broken. And it says in that verse, do you see what it says? Consider him. Whenever you're beginning to feel weary and you feel that the devil is cutting in, maybe somebody said something they shouldn't have said. Maybe inadvertently, even someone said something and it's hurt you. You're feeling discouraged, thinking, oh, why bother? What's the point? And the devil has cut into such a way that he's trying to break your spirit. Take away your enthusiasm. Deaden your zeal. Maybe wean you back to the things of the world. Well, it says here, consider him. Focus upon Christ, what he has accomplished for you, what he suffered for you, because that is in the context in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews here, to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That is part of the answer. That is part of how we continue to stand. But thinking of how do we continue to stand, my thoughts were very much with Philippians chapter 2 and what it says there. It says, and I hope you'll excuse me for moving quite quickly here. We don't want to keep you too much over your normal time. It says in here in Philippians chapter 2 in the verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Many years ago, I was walking around a place near Dungannon called Granville with another man. There were also another couple there, a man and wife. They were doing outreach with us as well. And me and this fellow were together, and we were talking to this character at the door, and he was talking away, and he had some issues regarding the former moderator of our church and other things. But we listened to him anyway, and he talked on and was willing to listen regarding the gospel. Then he said, and I was only saved a few weeks at the time, he said to us, to me, he said, but does it not say somewhere in the Bible that you're to work out your own salvation? And I was completely stumped. Didn't know what to say. Very little experience. But fortunately, Robert, who was with me, he explained to the man that where it says work out your own salvation, nothing to do with earning salvation. But rather, it's making the best of what you've got. And folks, that is a very, very clear statement of what we're reading here, where it says, work out your own salvation. This is an expression that was used to describe mining. You see, you can have a lot of the silver mines, that is. You can have a lot of money's worth and a lot of value in the ground, but unless you mine and get it out, it's no real use to you. You have to work and to get the very best out of the mine in order to profit from it. It's also an expression that was used to describe a farmer preparing the ground, to work out your own salvation. Whenever you have to prepare the ground, if you don't plow and nurture the ground, don't expect a good harvest, because it's not going to happen. It's all to do with making the very best of what you have. And dear person this morning, do not think of yourself as insignificant. I think I've already covered this in saying that every Christian is important. You're robed in the righteousness of Christ. There's something in the work of God for you to do. Now, the devil will want to say otherwise to you. And he will use various situations. We're not going to go into that this morning. He can use backslidden people. He can use the world. And all of those things to try to draw you away from the very good intentions that you do have. You may say, well, Mr. Salt, I know what you're saying, and I'd love to work out the best that I have and be at my best for the Lord, but I'm just too weak. Well, so am I. But look at the next verse that says, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The thought in that verse is dealing with our will and giving us a will to work for him and energizing us. And that is important to us all. So if your heart is in tune with God today, and you want to do something for him, here is how you continue to stand. We noted in Hebrews chapter 12, keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And on a human level, keep seeking to be the best you can, leaning on him. Looking to him. And praying to him that you might continually be enabled to stand. For us boards, we call ourselves up to prosper and to come forward, to go forward and to continue to stand, we must consider him. And we believe, looking at these verses here in Philippians chapter 2, it says even in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. So easy to murmur when the devil comes knocking at the door. But Paul says here, you can do it all. Lean on him. Keep going. Look to Christ. And you will continue to stand for him. So we have noted briefly this morning here the shape of the boards, if they're to be of any value and any use really in the tabernacle, you will understand that they had to be standing up. And so have you and I, as Christians, possible to plod through and to knock one day into the next. We're existing as Christians, but we're not really living as Christians unless we're standing up. But I want to move on to another point here. Not only have we here the shape of the boards, but there is the setting of the boards. If you look there in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 26, it says, two tenons shall there be for one board, set in order one against another. You see that? They were to be set in order. Now the boards were all very, very similar. Therefore, they were all important. But they were also to be set in order. It would never do if there was to be overlap. Because if there was overlap, that could cause, as you would understand, it could cause friction and maybe even a completely dysfunctional structure. How important it was that Moses would follow the instructions from the Lord, that they would be set in order. And how important it is for you and me that every day of our lives we look to God to help us to be God-positioned men and women and young people for Him. Again, when Paul was writing there to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, it says there in Ephesians chapter 4 in the verse 16, I'll not take time to read all the verses. Perhaps you could do that at home, but we're looking here at the body of Christ. We're part of that. Christ is the head. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And folks, there is where we want to be. We want not only to be standing for the Lord, but we want to be set or placed by the Lord. If we look back there to the first couple of verses of that chapter 4 in Ephesians, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And then he goes on right down to the end of verse 16 where he speaks about the body being fitly joined together. And folks, that can only happen if we're placed by the Lord. Some will preach. Some will go to the mission field. Some will be elders. Some will switch the light on when the meeting's about to start. Some will clean the church out. Some will drive the bus. Some will teach the young people in the Sunday school and Bible class. If you look there indeed in chapter 2 of Ephesians, just back a page or two in the verse 21, it says there, speaking of Christ, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Here is part of the secret of true progress. You see, it's not really all about numbers. And while we're so pleased that you have a great attendance here in Kilkeel, it's just a small one down in Achillea. But by and large, and I've been there just over 10 years now, it all works together. And people are seeking out that they might be in the right place with the Lord. If you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. Again, please, 1 Corinthians. And we're looking in chapter 12. We'll just read there in verse 28. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, and God has sent some in the church. Do you see, it's God who sets them. The setting of the boards. And God has sent some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Did you see that? Helps. The word helps there in the Greek language means to take or to lay hold of something in order to give support. And here we're referring to individuals, to Christians, And they are simply referred to here as helps. And every Christian minister will thank God for the helps. People who perhaps are not noticed. And I want to encourage you again by saying that there is a place for you. And there's something for you to do. Do you remember there when you're reading in Romans chapter 16 concerning people that the Apostle Paul wanted to send greetings to? You'll read about them there in Romans 16, and you may have read that chapter before and thought, well, who are these people that are mentioned here that he's sending greeting to? Who are they exactly? We don't know very much about them. We've got their name. And really, as far as many of them are concerned, that's really all that we do have. And yet the apostle found it necessary and expedient to send greetings unto them. Well, I just want to mention some of their names, and I'm not going to dwell on them at all. And you know that in those days, a person was given a name. Generally, it meant something. And when we look at names, in fact, there's great profit from studying biblical names in the Word, and I'm sure you know that. But if you look there at the beginning, it says, and I commend unto you, Phoebe means shining and pure. Plenty of room for her, the church, in any church. And if you look on down at verse 7, there's Andronikos, which means, his name means a man excelling in what he does. He's doing his best and doing well at it because he's doing his best. If you look at the beginning of verse 9, it says, salute Urbane. And that name means civil and courteous. How important he is, or that person is, in the church. At the end of verse 10, there's Aristobulus, which means one who is a counselor. We've got them in every church, haven't we? Someone who always has the word in season. When you're feeling a bit down or discouraged, they're the ones that come along and they always have a word in season. They may not be known very well. Maybe not even outside their own congregation, but they're absolutely invaluable because they're the best counselor. If you look there in verse 14, one of the names is Phlegon, which means zealous. And I don't know, I haven't looked at all the other names here, but I trust that every one of them were of significant, of great importance, so much so that the apostle gives thanks for them and he sends greeting to them, and their name is recorded here forever in the Word of God. They were helps. They were the helps that we read of over there in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And maybe you're just a younger person today or an older person, and you're exercised about doing something more in the Lord's work. Maybe you're seeking direction right now in your life. Well, keep on doing that, and the Lord will direct. Very often, as I speak in churches, I have told how when I was in Dungannon and first saved, that I really loved driving the minibus. I used to go on a Tuesday night and took the bus and went all up around McGashall and different places where people, some of them didn't have any cars and some were quite elderly and didn't have any other way of getting really along to the prayer meeting. I used to pick them up, and I used to love doing that job. And if the Lord hadn't led me to do other things, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that job, and I would probably still be doing it. You see, some people are never known outside their own fellowship, but they render invaluable service. I have some of them in Ackley. There's a girl came to us 8 or 9 years ago and started coming to the church. Then she brought along a boyfriend, and then a really nice fella, and then she married him, and off she went. And he loved Ackley when he'd been there, and her heart was in it, I knew that. And after a period of time, they came to me and said they were making it a real matter of prayer, and I know that it was not a Free Presbyterian church they'd gone to, but it was a fairly good church. We wouldn't agree with everything, that's for sure, but it was gospel preaching. And they came to me and said, we're praying about coming to Ackley. I said, well, I pray too, and we'll see what the Lord would have you to do. To cut a long story short, they came along, they joined us, and as time has gone by, they gave themselves quietly to doing what they could, and now he's the Bible class leader She is a Sunday school teacher, and the both of them work on a Tuesday night in the children's meeting as well. They just seem to come out of nowhere, and yet they were what we needed. And today they are helps. You'll not find those two people seeking any recognition or glory. There's another lady who, when I came, there were Sunday morning only at church. That's just the way it was with them. They usually went to a relative's church, maybe at night or somewhere else, and then they joined the church, and as time went by, they got involved in more things, and today he's our treasurer, and the lady is the leader of, and doing a very good job of, and has led a lot of children to the Lord this past number of years. She's the leader of the children's work. They're not known outside the fellowship, but they render invaluable service to the Lord. Quiet and unassuming, getting on with it. So important, the setting of the boards. Do you see what it says? I'll just read it again. It says, set in order one against another. How that helps the church to function in harmony and in a way that will help us all and that will glorify the Lord. So there was the shape of the boards there to be standing up. The setting of the boards were to be set there one against another in the right place. But finally and briefly, there is, and this made it all possible, there is the special foundation of the boards. The foundation of the tabernacle would have to be extremely reliable. And we've already read about it there. It was silver, verse 19 and so on. Someone has estimated that approximately 1,200 pounds of silver was required to make this foundation for the tabernacle in the wilderness. You see, if the foundation was not right, then the boards could not stand, and they would be all over the place, and the tent could even fall. Now, of course, silver in the Word of God is a symbol of redemption. And when you read in 1 Corinthians 6 and 3 and 20 and in 1 Corinthians 3 and so on, you and I are redeemed by blood alone. Doesn't the hymn, one of the hymns say, we stand upon redemption ground? Another one of the hymns says, we rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Do you remember Asa long ago when he had to go out to confront a great army that outnumbered him, I don't know how many, 4 or 5 to 1 or more than that. And he ran out and he said, Lord, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. And the Christian church, and that's made up of individuals, that's you and I, the boards, our foundation is a sure one, because our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, and truly we stand upon redemption ground. And maybe you're feeling today, you're really feeling, I'm nothing in the great scheme of things. I've been doing something for a long time now. I feel nothing but weariness, weakness, and vulnerability, and all of that. Well, that's the way Christians always think. And I don't say that disrespectfully, because we have to continually learn to lean on Him, the one who is the foundation of His church, the one who is reliable and is working out all things after His own purpose. I just have one reference here or two, and then I'm finished. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, where we read there about considering Him, in the verse before that it says, looking unto Jesus. That does not mean just a friendly glance or a thought. Rather, the thought looking there actually carries the meaning of looking away from self. Christian, when you're feeling weak or you're feeling worthless or maybe feeling you're not successful in the work the way you would want to be, don't we start looking at ourselves? Well, this word carries the meaning of looking away from self. Looking to Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we can ask or even think. And you would love to stand continually, and I trust you'll be able to do that. You'd love to serve continually. I trust that the Lord will set you in the right place in His work. But here is the special foundation that makes everything possible for us. It is our union with Him and our constant communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a tremendous illustration of this in Leviticus chapter 1. And I finish with this. If you turn there, it's Leviticus chapter 1. There is the voluntary offering of the burnt sacrifice of the herd. It says in verse 3 in Leviticus 1, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. The word there is the word where it says hand upon us. The word samach, which means to lean your whole weight upon the head. And if you study out what we're reading about in these verses, we have a word picture of him who died for you. And we have a picture here of you and I leaning all of our weight upon him. Maybe you're under a cloud, and you're finding it difficult to get on to victory ground again. Well, lean hard upon him. Friends can fail you. Those who stood by you will help you to a certain degree. But it's the one who is our foundation that makes all of the difference. Some of the brethren this morning in the prayer meeting said concerning the Lord Jesus, he's not just a friend, but he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And folks, that is the secret of the success of the boards. Remember, you're significant in God's work, important to him. He wants you to stand. Hard to stand in an evil day. He wants you to be in the right situation. He will set you in that position if you seek him for guidance. And always be leaning upon the special foundation. And there we have the importance of the tabernacle board. May the Lord bless his word for our hearts and help each one of us to live for him in these days.